Hi, welcome to Robot Wonk. I'm Matthew Owen.
And I'm Eric Kurt. This week we discuss Trump in the Middle East, the state of the Democratic Party, and the ongoing Medicaid tax bill discussion. Good evening. You're either watching or listening to Redwood Wonk. My name is Eric Kirk.
And I'm Matthew Owen.
And we're discussing national news of the day, and we're going to start off with Trump in the Middle East. But is he there representing America, or is he representing his business interests? It's really not clear.
Oh, it's very clear. It's very clear, Eric. He's not there representing America's interests. He's representing Trump and Trump's business interest.
They're talking about opening up a hotel in Dubai, a golf course in Qatar. What's happening, Matt?
I think he's using the office of the president to go out and shake hands with other leaders of the world and say, how can I get business investments here while I'm president? His first term in office, he didn't do that. He kind of sat back and let his sons run the thing, and he didn't hear much about this. There's no guardrails this time. He can do whatever the hell he wants, and Congress is not there to stop him. They actually, they're making a little bit of noise on this plane, the $400 million plane donation from Qatar. But he's using the president for his business interest.
And even worse, they want to make, the plane as Air Force One, but then when he leaves office, they want it to go to the presidential library, which basically means it's his toy.
Which is fine if he wants to put it in the presidential library and keep it there. But, he's going to be flying around the world on the largest private jet. Most private jets hold 12 to 16 people. That's it. This is a full 747 that the taxpayer is going to pay to customize for him.
Yeah, this may not happen. There's a lot of opposition. Even Republicans are really grumbling about this.
It doesn't pass the smell test.
No, obviously not. It's ridiculous. Now he's saying, well, we've got deals. Qatar's going to be buying from Boeing. And it's like, people, countries and businesses buy from Boeing all the time. That's not right. That's not a something to negotiate. It's, they make airplanes. That's what they do.
Good job, right.
It's bizarre. So he's going to Saudi Arabia. And by the way, Saudi Arabia is a country with major human rights issues. They execute people who are...
Including a Washington Post reporter.
Yes.
With hatchets.
Right. And they have executed people who are homosexual. They have beaten women for driving cars. Apparently they don't do that anymore. But this is not a democracy. And when I've had discussions about this with people who support Trump and support this agenda, the argument is, well, they're not as bad as Iran. I'm like, okay,
great company.
No, I know. Stubbing my toe isn't as bad as slamming my head into a brick wall, but okay, so what? I still don't want to stub my toe.
Can I remind my Republican friends 15 of the 19 9/11 hijackers came from Saudi Arabia, and Saudi Arabia financed them along with Qatar. So,
yes, and yet we had a ban on a shutdown on the airlines that very day that 9/11 happened, and Saudi Arabians were exempt. They got to fly in and out. I get that there's this, they supply a lot of oil and they've got a lot of pull, but it's ridiculous the way it's not just Trump. I mean, we've got a problem with our leadership in general, giving them that too much. We are just overly dependent on oil that we make these deals. And for whatever reason, it seems like oil seems to come out of the worst of the governments. But he's there with photo ops with the prince, talking about what a great guy he is. And it kind of makes me sick looking at it.
It's not a good look for, I guess if he was over there doing geopolitics, I would have more of an understanding. But he's basically there to see how much can you put in my hand. Here's my hand. Yeah. I want something for me, me.
Certainly not talking about human rights and reform. I doubt that that's
talking came about peace in Gaza, that he was going to end day one in office.
Yeah. Yeah.
And by the way, has Saudi Arabia taken any Palestine refugees?
Most of those countries don't.
They don't want them.
No, they definitely don't do that. And yeah, I mean, of course, there's differences between Muslim creeds, and so there are those issues. But still, it's
between California and Texas, but we still get along,
right? So I believe he's on his way to Qatar, with this deal. I don't know where he's at with accepting this deal. He says, "Of course, I'm going to accept it. I'm not stupid."
Who turns down a $400 million gift?
Yeah, I know, and of course, Qatar's not going to want anything for it, right?
If you came to a judge and said, "Judge, I'm going to give you Super Bowl tickets. I just happen to have a court ruling I'm going to need next week." What do you think the judge is going to think? Well, any smart judge is going to say, "I can't take your Super Bowl tickets. You have a case in front of me." That would be a conflict of interest. People might think it's a bribe. And what's the difference between an expensive gift and a bribe?
It's interesting because his only other trip, I think, out of the country was to go fall asleep at the Pope's funeral.
Right.
I'm not sure he's done much else. I'm not sure what's happening on the peace front with regard to Ukraine and Russia. There's supposed to be some talks, but from what I've been reading, nobody's expecting the ceasefire anytime soon.
And the interesting thing too is Trump fell asleep in Saudi Arabia while they're having the meeting, and this is a man who used to insult Sleepy Joe all the time. I guess going to have to call him Sleepy Donnie.
At what point does his age start to become an issue?
It already is. Have you actually heard him speak a coherent sentence? He just kind of rambles a lot.
He's always kind of done that. He's never really focused.
Worse.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's talk for more than 30 seconds. It just goes, oh my God. This was your uncle, you'd say, "Are you okay?"
I mean, has he had any stated policy purposes to go over there? Is he even pretending?
No.
No?
I don't think he doesn't need to pretend on anything anymore. Yeah. I mean, here's a guy who's still selling his merchandise every single day. I get 20 emails a day begging for my cash for a man who's not running for re-election. He's just taking these gifts and putting them in his pocket because people are part of the cult, so they want to set him their life savings.
Well, before the show, because I've been kind of busy lately and a little bit behind the news, I wanted to go and see what was in this China tariff deal. And what it looked like is they both agreed to dial back their punitive tariffs. And so what did he get? He got kind of almost back to where we were in January, but not quite.
Tariffs, right?
Yeah. So basically, he's almost fixed the problem he created, almost. But there's still tariffs that may still inflate prices.
And but what's worse is when it hits small businesses, especially the ones that voted for Trump and supported for Trump, they're the ones going through hell, right? Ask any small business who does manufacturing. Most of these people understand we live in a global supply chain, and when the supply chain breaks, their businesses stop. It's a problem.
Well, he was in a panic because I believe his advisors finally convinced him that it was going to affect his constituency more than anybody else's.
The Secretary of Treasury and his chief of staff are saying, "We got to pull out of this thing. It's not working. We have no idea what your goal is, but the rest of the world doesn't either." So they just moved on. And they're basically saying, "Sell USA and let's deal with each other and just put USA out of the picture." That's not good for America.
Right. But in the meantime, Trump supporters, you know, came onto my blog and said, look at the genius. What he got the tariffs lower. I mean, you know,
he start that at the day one.
Right. If he never started them. I know. And they're still there. They're just 30% instead of, you know, 140% or whatever they were.
Keep in mind, there's a 30-day delay from the factories in China and Asia coming to America. Those ocean cargo vessels take 30 days. So we're just going to see what's happening here in the next few weeks.
There also was that rare earth thing that China was imposing. It wasn't a tariff, but they were going to put limitations on their rare earths because materials. And it's uncertain as to what's going to happen with that. And we depend on them for...
China controls 90% of the rare materials that we need for everyday products, like automobiles, cell phones, and computers. We have to have the product or we don't have automobiles, cell phones, or computers. Right.
There was somebody posting a great thing that some electric vehicle technology that they were investing in. They were going to open up in American soil, and they were talking about what a genius Trump was for this. But that was part of the Inflation Reduction Act that they were supposed to be done on North American soil. It was that was the whole concept of it. And I think my understanding is that these companies have been planning it for quite a long time, and it wasn't because of tariffs.
And by the way, that was a Biden policy.
Yes.
Not Trump. He's going to take credit for what Biden did. And if anything it happens in the Trump administration, well, that's Biden's fault also. They're blaming Pete Buttigieg for the airport problems out in Newark. Last I checked, Buttigieg has not been the transportation secretary for, 5 months now?
Yeah, well, that's what Trump said in his interview. All the good things happening are because of me, and all the bad things happening are because of Biden. And that was his analysis.
Try that with your spouse. Anything that's good that happens in our marriage, that's fun as me. But anything bad in our marriage, it's you. Let me know how long you're going to stay married.
Yeah, right. I mean, or my last wife, actually, kind of, because it's at least you can make the argument for your present wife, right? But if it's your last wife and you're still blaming them on your problems now, I mean, amazing, but it's because when the economy was booming before he took office, Trump was taking credit for it in January 15. So, we have this happening. He issued an executive order to lower drug prices, right? Except that it's not lowering drug prices because nobody has to follow that order. You can't just order drug prices down.
And you and I say this every week, Eric, where's Congress?
Yeah, exactly. You have to pass a law. You got to have leadership. You've got to be able to draw something up to propose to Congress. You got to get supporters to sponsor it. That's how it's supposed to be done. That's how democracy works. I mean, I know it's not efficient as you want it to be, but that's how a democracy works.
The first 100 days, this Congress passed 5 bills.
Yeah.
5. That's it. The lowest in 100 years.
Yeah. It's kind of ridiculous. You have to propose that. You can't just say, I declare. We don't have that kind of king anymore. It just doesn't work that way. I was asking, somebody in the know. They said, well, are the pharmaceutical companies going to challenge it in court? And an attorney said, they're not going to bother.
They're just going to ignore it.
Yeah.
You and I, and any sensible American knows this. They're just going to go, oh, you want us to lower prices? Here's my middle finger.
Yeah.
Take that, prices.
You've got to pass it. You've got to pay. It's Congress that has the ability to do that. They've got the authority to be able to do that under the Commerce Clause. They're the ones that dictate this stuff. So, It kind of boggles the mind. I don't know what other, you know, policies that he's dealt with over the past week. He's been kind of on the defensive a lot about this airplane. He's angry. He's angry because Chuck Schumer is now threatening to block appointments until questions are answered about the airplane. I mean, that's a gift to the Democrats because go ahead.
One thing I want to jump in here, his appointments. He appointed Jeannie Pereiro. Is that how you pronounce her name from Fox News? To the D.C. Circuit. Correct me if I'm wrong. The legal thing is the D.C. Circuit is a judge, or is she the D.C. Circuit Attorney General?
No, she's the attorney for the D.C. She's the attorney for that. She's not a judge. It's a specific position as a district thing. He had a nominee for it, but it was so bad that even the Republicans were going to vote against that person.
Piero, she was one of the conspiracy theorists of the 2020 election. Yeah. And just went off on crazy tangents. And Saturday Night Live always has, I forget the actress, with the big martini glasses throwing water everywhere because she's always so drunk.
Yeah.
Allegedly another person from Fox News who drinks excessively.
And Piero was one of the people cited in the Dominion case, other than Sean Hannity, admitting that everything was false. Piero was a true believer and was cited in that. And that's why Fox News had, you know, an $800 million settlement that they had to make to avoid a $2.5 billion judgment. So they're running up against the trial. She was a big factor in that. So they're probably relieved that she's there and hoping she'll stay for a while.
I'm waiting for him to appoint Sean Hannity as the new Secretary of Commerce. Yeah. He could, and would he pass the Senate?
I don't know. I don't know that he would want to leave his position. He makes a lot of money right now.
I know.
Now.
He's making 20 mil a year doing lies, but
yeah.
Interesting. All right.
That's all we have for that today. We'll be talking about it in the future. If you have any questions or comments, email us at redwoodwonk@gmail.com.
You can listen to Redwood Wonk on KZZH 96.7 FM every Tuesday and Thursday night at 8 p.m.
So this segment, we're going to discuss the state of the Democratic Party, and they should be in pretty good shape. They're doing pretty well in the polls right now. In all the special elections, they're outperforming the Republicans, outperforming the polls. They're winning upsets. And actually, just yesterday in Nebraska, Omaha's three-term Republican mayor, Gene Stothert, lost her reelection bid to Democrat John Ewing. Nebraska's largest city will soon have its first black mayor. This shouldn't be a total shock because in three of the four last presidential elections, Omaha is like the biggest part of that single district that has been winning a point for Democratic presidents, the Electoral College point. So it has been getting bluer. And this last time, even with Harris losing everywhere else, she actually won it pretty handily. So it shouldn't be that big a shock. But this mayor, the Republican mayor, was favored. And because the Republicans are not doing so well right now, the Democrat defeated her, even though that's good news. So where are the Democrats? Well, the Democrats really need to start cleaning house. They need to basically get rid of some of the old guard, and I mean old guard, and start over from ground up. Now they're resisting it all the way. David Hogg, who is a Parkland shooting survivor, got elected to the DNC vice chair, and is introduced some young blood. He's 25 years old, and he is tired of the ineffectiveness of the party. And he is basically raised money for $20 million to be run primary challenges in safe districts against Democrats who are proving to be ineffective. this has led to a lot of howling from Democrats, including the Raging Cajun, who's saying this is outrageous. This will weaken the party. It won't weaken the party. It'll strengthen the party. And so there is a possibility that he might not get to stay as DNC because there may be a re-election of that, because there were some procedural errors in the February election in which he won as DNC chair. There's another seat in which this happened. And so there may be a re-election. He thinks that, and a lot of his supporters think that this is just a ruse to get him out of the of the DNC vice chair committee. Whether that's true or not, it's hard to say. But it certainly looks bad because of the timing. So the other guy, I'm forgetting his name, who is in it, says it looks bad, but he doesn't think it's the case. And he's also facing the prospect of having to have defend himself in another election. Development that may hurt the Democratic Party, or maybe will help the Democratic Party, maybe take some stock in. You gotta, not let this happen again, and maybe give a little bit more force to the David Hoggs and the younger elements of the party to address this. Is a book came out, Matt. What's the book about, and what's it titled?
Jack Taper is one of the authors of it from CNN, and it's titled "The Original Sin," and it basically talks about the rapid decline in President Joe Biden from 2022 to 2024. If you remember 2024, there was a big, huge fundraiser for Biden in Hollywood. He didn't even recognize George Clooney, who he's probably met, 50 times before and probably one of the most recognizable actors in the world. He couldn't remember his name. And when Clooney was talking to him, he's just realizing he's not focused on the conversation. His mental skills have declined rapidly. And this is literally even 2-year period. He just kind of went downhill. The book talks about his aides kept everyone away from him.
Yeah.
They didn't have him do meetings. They didn't have him do press conferences. If anything, he'd come out there and say one or two sentences, and then they pulled him. He was done. And it all led up to that disastrous first debate with Donald Trump where he couldn't finish his sentence. He said, "We're going to get rid of Social Security." And we're all looking at each other going, I had to turn it off after 5 minutes. I just felt bad for the guy. And I can't tell you how many other Democratic friends said, "What the hell are we going to do?" And at that point, they couldn't do a Democratic convention. We need to bring out the top 10, 12 people and let the voters decide. Instead, we coordinated Harris. And then she was tied to Biden. I mean, the reason people didn't vote for Biden was high gas prices, high egg prices, inflation. That was the number one reason the guy lost the election. He couldn't get inflation under control.
No, and they didn't let her distinguish herself from Biden even. She was asked the question, how would you be different from Biden? And she couldn't answer it because they thought that would be a bad look or something. I don't know.
She said, I would do the same thing. And the voters are going, no, we don't want the same thing. The other thing the book talked about is Biden said when we got elected, I'm going to do one term and that's it. He says, I know I'm getting old, so I'm going to do one term. And then his ego kicked in. I'm president of the United States. I beat Donald Trump before. I can do it again. Maybe not for inflation, but
you have. And then he just did an interview recently with his wife, who I used to have more respect for, in which he basically said, Harris was going to lose. We knew he was going to lose and the rest. And what was her part in basically covering all this up?
Well, you know who the number one person was who covered up for him. I mean, that's pretty obvious. But then again, his wife.
Oh, yeah, right.
But now we're also having all the senior staff members go, why didn't you tell the truth? And some Democrats are still having issues criticizing him. I mean, I think policy-wise, he was one of the most effective presidents since Lyndon Johnson or FDR.
Oh, yeah, he pulled us out of the mess that Trump created, but nobody remembers that.
He did incredible things policy wise for this country. He tried to overstep on eliminating student loan debt. That didn't work out so well. But otherwise, most of all his policies I thought were phenomenal for this country.
Yeah, no, I mean, he was brilliant with the Inflation Reduction Act and the investments in electric cars, because as much as some of the Republicans and Trump would like to undo it, he made sure that something like 85% of the investment was done in red areas. Right. So they're not going to do that because it would take jobs away, you know, from that. That's a brilliant move because they're not going to do it. And so then once you have that, there's going to be infrastructure following. That was brilliant. I mean, he put together a brilliant team, but then that team didn't have access to him after a while.
Yeah, I mean, and the book talks about his own cabinet members couldn't have conversations with him.
Yeah.
They had to go through his inner circle who would communicate with the president and get back to cabinet members.
Right.
That's not good. And Trump's on TV every single day. I mean, he just loves the camera and was out there every single day talking. He doesn't talk much more than a minute or so because he just starts to ramble. But they pulled Biden away from cameras and would not have him do interviews, which was tragic.
I actually am curious. I want to read the book as to what they were expecting to happen in that debate.
And literally that debate lost Biden's, I mean, that lost him as being the candidate. But it put the Democrats behind an eight ball.
Yeah.
Now,
well, they probably could have done it. They probably still could have won. She was ahead in the polls for a long time, but she was afraid to do interviews, or I don't know if she was afraid to do interviews, or her handlers were afraid to let her do interviews. But she was fine. She had a populist message, but she needed to distinguish herself from Biden, and she didn't have to totally slam him. She could have touted all the policies that worked, and then talked about what she would do that was different, particularly with regard to the Middle East. All she had to say is, I'm going to put pressure on Netanyahu. She had already pissed him off anyway, right, when she didn't show up. So why not just say, I'm going to pressure him when I get in. I will put more pressure than the current precedent is in putting an end to this.
And all she had to say is, here's where I differ than President Biden.
Right.
But she didn't or wouldn't do it. And the other thing, too, is Donald Trump was smart enough to go on the manosphere. If there was a blog out there with some bro dude, Joe Rogan, Charlie Kirk, he was out there just talking to anyone and everyone. All he wanted to do was talk. If Biden had gone on Bill Maher, or even Kamala Harris gone on Bill Maher and has sat down and talked for 10 minutes, oh, my God. Hillary had the same mistake. She went and kind of closeted herself in and says, I got a huge lead. I don't need to do all these interviews.
Yeah. Stupid. And they should have had a convention rather than having this stupid secret vote, because they're so worried about not having control over the process. They're right. So worried about it that they had to have this thing before the convention and just make the convention a big party. She probably would have won it anyway.
But going back to the David Hodes thing you're talking about earlier from the DNC, let the Democrats control the DNC, not the insiders. That's the problem I have with the Democratic Party right now. There's 12 people there who control our country from the DNC, not the 70 million Democrats. And that is problematic.
Well, and she started listening to people like Mark Cuban and her brother-in-law and other people that were just would tell her, to make her message more vague, to make, she was saying less as it went on. And that's when she started to slip in the polls. Her height was when she absolutely kicked butt in that debate. I mean, she just absolutely, he was afraid to face her again. There was no way. And he was going to do that. And she just absolutely, and then after that, it started to go downhill. Her VP candidate didn't do as well, probably because they didn't let him talk, as much either, because they had such control over the narrative. But this idea that, and it is a problem, a sickness in the Democratic Party, that they've got to have this control. I witnessed it even on a quasi-local level with the California Democratic Party, the CADEM election. The rules they had for voting on it, it's disenfranchising. People went there to vote and they couldn't vote because it was so complicated. I don't know if my vote counted to this day. And it was ridiculous because they didn't want the Bernie people winning again. And at least that's what it looks like. I don't know if that's true or if they just had complete morons setting up the system, but you had to, set up online and then it had to be verified and they wouldn't even take provincial ballots. You know, I mean, it's worse than any of the, of the schemes that Republicans want to set up with ID, you know, I mean, it's just it was because they want to control the process. They want to be in control. And
so, one more example there. Governor Newsom this week came out and said, we're not paying any illegal immigrants medical expenses. We're done with this. It's costing us $1 billion a year. We can't afford it anymore. Guess what happened? The powers that be in the Democratic Party said, no, Gavin, you got to back that up. We have to support illegal immigrants. And this is what's giving the elections to the Republicans. They're like, you guys are stupid enough to give $1 billion out of your budget for an illegal immigrant? Just tell them if you come over and you're illegal, we're not paying for your medical.
Well, I Newsom should have never done that, or at least not done it publicly.
He did.
Because if they're not getting medical treatment, it can create a public health issue.
I understand, but Republicans' view is deport yourself. You don't.
Well, that's not going to. But that's not going to happen. And if we have another pandemic issue, we've got a problem with that. And you know, it's
in the Midwest.
We do it because we have a lot of them there. They need the treatment. They need the health care. Because if they get sick, then other people get sick. So we need it. We need it taken care of. It's not just them benefiting from it. And they're not going to deport themselves because they're not getting health care. They're going to stay. Because
there's
going
to be issues in the coming year between Democrats and Republicans.
I get it. But Newsom shouldn't have made it a public issue. That's what it happened there.
And guess what sells in the Midwest and the South?
Yeah, well, that's I blame that on Newsom. I mean, the others are that opposed it said, as a matter of public policy, we can't do this. It's not about whether immigrants even deserve it on some level or not. It's about what we need to do for public health. Right. These are kids. We can't not treat them. We have to do it.
Illegal immigrants.
It doesn't matter. They're still kids.
The next thing they're going to go after is illegal immigrants in schools. They're going to go after that. Why are we spending public dollars, my tax dollar, on an illegal immigrant?
Because they're here and they're children.
You and I understand this, but this is going to be an issue in the Midwest and the South.
Yeah, but it's California. It's none of their business what we do in California. So it's just, they can make their choices. We make ours. And Newsom should just keep his mouth shut about it because he's running for president.
Right. And that's what he's going after is the Midwest and the South.
Oh, no, he's totally going after. He wants to not even be tethered to California anymore. We can't not treat people medically here. If we do it, if we go to Europe, we get treated for free. Europeans come here and they've got to have a special insurance because otherwise they get billed for thousands if they end up in an emergency room here. It's ridiculous. We should have a healthcare system that covers everybody, quote unquote, illegal or not. But that's a totally different issue, I guess. But anyway, it's just the powers that be in the Democratic Party, whatever, they're talking public policy. Newsom is talking political expediency. I get it, but he wants to run for president. That's why he's going on the Joe Rogan show, or not Joe Rogan, pardon me, what's the idiot
Charlie Kirk.
And he was talking with the guy that used to be Trump's favorite guy, but now he's not getting along too well. Yeah, with Elon. Elon says he's lazy. Anyway, that's.
And the other thing, you're going to see Gavin Newsom going on Bill Maher. He wants to reach a bigger audience, and he wants someone to ask him tough questions.
He does really well with that.
Right, and Pete Buttigieg is going to do it. You know what they're running for, so.
Yep. If you have any questions or comments, email us at redwoodwonk@gmail.com.
You can listen to Redwood Wonk on KZZH 96.7 FM every Tuesday and Thursday night at 8 p.m.
that brings us to our final segment. We've got the great big beautiful bill that Trump wants to get passed. It's one of the few things, but there are hardcore Republicans that are pushing for Medicaid cuts, and they're also arguing over the SALT limits for writing off state taxes, particularly in blue states, because we have our own income tax. And in last time around, for whatever reason, Democrats signed off on it, and so we have I think our current limit is $10,000 for that. They want to raise it. There are Republicans in blue states like California who want to raise it to, I think, 80,000 or whatever. I think the compromise that's been proposed is 30,000. Of course, you know, red states are saying, well, you guys shouldn't have income taxes. That's what you get for being liberals. It's a big fight because there are a lot of Republicans in close races, and particularly in Southern California, that don't want to be tagged with the fact that the taxes that their constituents are actually paying higher taxes as a result of their so-called tax reform. And so that's a big fight. Meanwhile, Hawley, of all people, Senator Hawley, who's about one of the most reactionary political figures in office, is railing against the Medicaid cuts because in Missouri, about 20% of the population depends on that.
Only 20%?
That's what I heard this morning.
I think it's going to be a higher number in Missouri, Kentucky, those red states have a huge portion of low-income people. Huge.
Right. And he depends on them to vote and probably doesn't want them dying. And
and the other problem is in politics, no one really pays attention until it affects you personally. You cut off a low income person's medical access or make them pay huge amounts of money out of their pocket, they will scream. I guarantee it.
And see, this goes back to Obamacare passing in, I think it was 2010, right? Did I have that right?
I want to say 10, correct?
All right, or 2009, I'm not sure. But and the Republicans in the House introduced, I think, what was it, about 60 times a bill to repeal Obamacare. And then when they had total power in 2017, they didn't do it once because they could have done it, but they knew there would be a backlash. Right. Now they've got the power to do it. Do you see it? I mean, it's not happening. And Medicaid is tied in with some of it, you know, like covered California and the rest. And so there are Republicans that want to do it. And so it's in the bill and they're debating. And the Democrats offered a whole bunch of amendments. They all got shot down. But there is a civil war with Republicans right now because there are Republicans that do not want to be saddled with that. And particularly in the House, there are Republicans that are saying, I'm not going to vote for that unless it's guaranteed that it'll pass in the Senate. But, you know, the parliamentarian hasn't guaranteed that as to whether or not a filibuster could be circumvented with this. And even if it can, there's no guarantee that all the senators are going to vote for it, because now you got Hawley saying, I'm not sure I'm going to vote for this. And if Hawley doesn't vote for it, then probably there's a couple of other senators.
He's Kentucky. Mitch McConnell's going to go, this is stupid.
And he doesn't have to worry about being elected anymore. He's not running for re-election.
But he's finally speaking his mind now.
Yeah, I mean, so they've got a problem, and they are in, and they can't. I guess it's passed through a couple of committees, the bill, but it's probably going to have to be renegotiated. And nobody has any idea what it's going to look like when it's finished, if it gets finished. It's and chaos.
Wait till the people, especially in those red states, especially the poor people in the red states, find out. Let me get this straight. Elon Musk company Tesla made $2.4 billion last year and paid zero taxes, and they need to continue with these tax cuts for the wealthy billionaires and corporations, and you're going to pay for these tax cuts by lowering my health access? That's not going to go over well at all.
which is probably why Trump has said that he's willing to raise taxes on the rich. Does he mean it? I don't know.
That's not going to go over with Republicans. Who do you think pays for them?
Right. And I think he's just saying it, but maybe he's like would promise that if people would accept Medicaid cuts. But you know, Medicaid is a big expenditure, but it's also one that is pretty worthwhile. You know, it's the closest thing we have to social medicine. Every other industrialized country on the planet has it.
Right. We have Medicare, Medicaid, and VA healthcare, which is all socialized medicine. You know what? People who have those coverages love it.
Yeah. I know for a fact that there are people dropping private healthcare coverage to get California covered. I forget what it's called, but California covered California, whatever it is.
California.
Yeah. I mean, because it has better coverage. Depending on what your policy is.
If the Republicans raise taxes on the middle class to cut benefits for the lower class, to enrich a few small percentage of the people in the upper class, at some point, that's just not going to go over.
No.
It's going to be hard to see Fox News try to spin that one.
And they're trying, but they don't have anything to say. I mean, you know, the only thing they said is, they've got their people on there saying that taxing the rich is un-American.
I'm going to pay zero in taxes then. I'm good.
Well, they're saying, well, what you're doing is you're creating a disincentive to work hard to earn money. And it's like, no, you earn money. You're able to earn money because there's infrastructure out there that allows you to earn money, and you're paying a fee for that infrastructure. That's what you're doing. I mean, you know, try to make a buck if there's no roads out there, right? You know, to be able to carry if you're selling goods. And there's no way to transport it from one place to another, you're not going to make any money. You know, I mean, it's just, that's the way it is.
Here's my argument to my Republican friends. You come out and tell me you're against socialism, yet you receive a social security check every month. You're on Medicare. Some of you have a VA benefits. Sounds like socialized worked out pretty good for you guys.
Well, it's and this is the thing, because we get in debates about what is socialism, and what I find is that the hardcore conservatives agree with the hardline Marxists when they say that Denmark and Sweden are not socialists. No, that's capitalism. Blah blah blah. That's feed. You know, that social medicine is fed by capitalism. That's capitalism. And so, you know, the Marxists, I say, well, whatever. I mean, it's, you know, ownership of means of production of this, blah, blah, blah. It's okay, you see it as reform. To the conservatives, I say, okay, you say it's capitalism when it's in Denmark or Sweden, but we had even attempt to introduce a mild version of it here in the United States, and it's Stalinism, Maoism, and Pol Pot year zero all wrapped into one. You scream about it. I mean, right. You know, Ronald Reagan in 1960s screamed that Medicare was going to mean that we were going to live in a Stalinist, you know, state. He literally said that. You can find it on YouTube in 1960, that the expansion of Medicare was going to lead to this. They, you know, it's not socialism when it's effective in another country, but if we're going to bring it here. But now they wouldn't say that, and now they wouldn't touch it. And we had signs during all the craziness that happened in during the Tea Party. Keep government off my Medicare. I mean, you know, it's just
When you think about how socialized we have our country now. You want to go to a public library? My tax dollars pay for it. You want to go to send your kids to a public school? My tax dollars pay for it. You want to have a military? My tax dollars pay for it. You want to have police and fire protection? My taxes pay for that.
Yeah. But, you know, you've got a problem here because you have these deficits that you want to address. And so you've got the biggest expenditures are the are the military and Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security. But I don't count Social Security because it's paying for itself, right? Right. So you shouldn't count that. That should not even be counted in the budget. And you've got the VA and all of that. So you could eliminate other things and it wouldn't matter. You'd still have a deficit. So then if you can't cut too much into those funds, the other way around is to increase revenues. Well, there's ways you can increase revenues. You can restore taxes to what they were in the 1950s. Isn't that what MAGA talks about when America was great? Right. You know, right, post-war. Except
the progressive tax rate went up to nearly 70%.
You're right. Yeah. You could do that, or you could find another way for government to make revenues, which means you have also real socialism where it's making products and sells them, which is what some European countries do, by the way. They have mixed economies where countries actually have corporations where they sell shares and make money. And that's how they're able to avoid deficits. I mean, there are creative ways to do that, but we don't want that here. Absolutely. Because it reeks of socialism.
Why don't we raise money on the wealthy individuals and corporations? Yeah. Every Republican in the Senate just rails about the deficit. Here's a quick way to cure that. Second thing, cut the defense budget. If there's any budget out there that's bloated with fraud, waste, and abuse, it's the defense budget, and they're not talking about that. I haven't heard Elon Musk say a single word. Nothing. Yeah.
Well, if you remember, too, when we had that crash in 2008, and then it took a long time to get things moving. there was no money out there to get things moving. The Republicans were not allowing Obama to spend, to have Keynesianism spend it. And a mutual friend, I'm sure you know him, Bill Barnum, kind of a libertarian guy, told me that there's $15 billion that a lot of industrialists are sitting on in strike against Obama. And I'm like saying, yeah, that's $15 billion that rich people are sitting on, that if they started to invest it and spend it, it would get the economy moving. So what are they doing? Basically keeping it in their pillowcases, right? You know, I mean, I can't remember the name of the economist that said, if you give money to a rich person, it's inherently beneficial to the economy. Well, that went out the window with that, right? I mean, it's not inherent. And by the way, a dollar spent, it doesn't matter if it's spent by the government, a rich person or a poor person, a dollar spent is basically stimulative to the economy. It might vary depending on how it's spent, but those taxes are fine. And by the way, we should be taxed proportionate. They say, why should rich people have to pay more? Because we should be taxed proportionate to the benefit our wealth benefits from the government. I mean, that's, you know, if we're making more, we're benefiting more. That's why the government benefits, because you know we've got police forces that keeps your serfs from taking your money and killing you, right? You benefit even the welfare and programs that are there that go to poor people. Marxists talk about that as preventing revolution. They're relief valves. Right. I mean, if they're getting that, then they're not in the streets rioting for food and starting revolutions. Everything the government does is for the benefit of accumulated wealth. So there is no justification for people not paying their share for the benefit that the government does for that wealth, because everything the government does is for the benefit of that wealth, directly or indirectly.
And I think Elon Musk's company should pay out 20% of the corporate profits minimum.
Yeah.
So there's $480 million toward the deficit right there. And I know Elon will be happy to do that.
I mean, and it all comes back to, and this is something that Henry Ford understood. I mean, Henry Ford was a quasi-fascist, you know, he liked Hitler early on, and he was obsessed with the protocols of the Elders of Zion. So I don't want to make him out to be some great progressive or anything like that. But he did understand one thing. He had probably one of the more expensive products to be sold. And he understood that in order for him to make money, there had to be a working class that could afford to buy his products, his durable goods products. And so in order for that to happen, there had to be an economy that allowed for that to happen. So he actually supported the idea of rich people paying taxes so that there was an effective redistribution of wealth so that poor people had money to be able to buy his products. He profits from it. And then more money comes, and it's a cycle. And that's how you make money. It's, you don't make money on having the money and holding on to it. You make money by spending it, getting it back, spending it, getting back, and you accumulate the money through the cycles. That's, he understood that. For whatever reason, today's rich people don't understand that.
And they don't like giving money away to charity.
No, they don't. It's, you know, the ironic thing is that in terms of proportion to income and wealth, poor people give more.
This is why we'll never see Donald Trump's tax returns, because I doubt he gives much money to charities. Oh,
no, I actually think we'll never see his tax reforms, tax returns, because I think it's because he doesn't make as much money as he says.
His favorite charity is himself.
Right. Yeah. But I think he blew daddy's fortune. I think that's right. Why we won't see his tax returns. From those ones that we got that were leaked in late 1980s,
pretty embarrassing.
The bulk of the income came from interest. That means he got some loans from somebody and it was sitting in the bank. Anyway, well, we were talking about the Medicaid, the bill, but it's kind of up in the air. I don't think that the bill as it is now is going to look much like it does in the long run. I'm wondering if it's ever going to get passed. I just don't know. Or if it gets passed, it's just going to be some watered down thing. They're not even approaching Democrats for any help, and I don't think they can get all the Republicans. But we're at the end of the segment, so we're going to have to move on. This brings us to predictions. Matt, what do you have for us?
The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. President Trump came out and said tariffs are the most beautiful thing out there. They're going to pay for all these tax cuts. They're going to put millions in our pocket. Remember, we're all going to get a DOGE check. We're going to get a tariff check. Everything's great. Now the tariffs are going away, so how are the Republicans going to pay for all these big, beautiful tax cuts without the tariffs there to pay for them? I think sensible people came to Trump and said, you're killing the world's economy. You personally are doing it. And he came around his senses. He'll claim a win, and we're going to be probably back where we started off on January 20th, but he'll claim a win and move on in life, and that was that. Just a massive disruption to the world's economic powers.
All right. My prediction is a little bit scarier here. Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem has said that she believes that there are the conditions developing available for the suspension of habeas corpus. They've been talking about this. Pam Bondi has already said that she thinks it could be done. And they are saying that they believe that it can be done by the president, presidential decree, something that Abraham Lincoln tried. It led to a bit of a kerfuffle until Congress just went ahead and suspended it in the interest of the war to prevent the constitutional crisis of the time. The fact of the matter is Article 1, Section 9 makes it pretty clear that it has to be passed by Congress. But will Congress stand up for itself, and will there be a fight against this? It's one thing that they're standing up for Medicaid because of their constituents. Will they stand up? Will Republicans stand up for habeas corpus, one of the most basic of our rights? I don't know, but that is very scary, because that is, the right to petition for your freedom if you're arrested is not just going to affect immigrants. But they're using the immigration crisis, as they're calling it, as an excuse, even though they claim to have the border under control. I predict that this is going to come into fruition as a crisis within the next month, and we'll see where the Republicans stand on that. We'll see if this comes true. Hopefully it does not. But until next time, stay informed and stay engaged.
And read the Constitution.
Yes.